Hey everyone, the crowdfunding campaign for Video Game High School Season 3 is now live. Head on over to rocketjump.com/campaign, pledge for some campaign-exclusive rad perks, and help make the final season of VGHS as awesome as it can possibly be. Hey everyone, welcome to the Face Rocker Podcast number 36. This week, a return to form of sorts. We are joined by Logan Olson to discuss a bevy of topics, including, what are we talking about?
I don't know. Pizza. DJs, pizzas, I think immortality, and I think we argue a bit over the best games of 2013.
That's right. It is a classic. Wanted to take a quick moment, tell you about a quick promotion that we're doing with Netflix. Head on over to netflix.com/rocketjump. Use that code and you will get 1 month of Netflix for free. You can watch anything you want. Absolutely. Anything. There's such good stuff on Netflix.
Which is all great stuff, though.
Act of Killing, one of my favorite documentaries of last year, is on Netflix now. Fantastic. Absolutely vital. One of the most important documents ever made. So head on over to netflix.com/rocketjump. Speaking of Rocket Jump, by the way,
these
snazzy mugs that we've been drinking out of, had some requests for it. Available now on our store, store.rocketjump.com. You can, you know, get it to the DJ or the MC. Oh, that's right. Yes. Two sides to them. Get a little great gift for the coffee drinker in your life. Finally, we are a third of the way through the Indiegogo campaign for Video Game High School Season 3. It's still time to get in on some of these Indiegogo exclusive perks. We are a third of the way funded as well. There's a whole bunch of cool stuff that's been added. There's a board game now, a board game perk. We're going to be adding some more stuff, so keep an eye on that campaign.
A big loot crate special. Ooh, yeah, mystery box that you guys can try to get now.
Don't spoil everything, Matt. There's going to be a lot more stuff coming down. But yeah, absolutely. Go over to rocketjump.com/campaign to check it out. Donate to the campaign. Be a part of the final and greatest, in my opinion, season of Video Game High School. Don't forget, you can help us out immensely by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes. There's a link everywhere on the site in the description. Head on over there. Let your computer do the work and do the downloading, and you can listen to it anywhere else. But it helps us out quite a bit to get that subscriber number up. Enough yammering. Let's get to the podcast. Welcome, everybody, to another Face Rocker podcast. I'm Freddy.
I'm Matt.
I'm Dan.
Oh, who's this person to my left?
I'm Logan.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. We're returning to form. We've heard so many, not complaints, but requests for us to go back to the format.
Seven, eight, maybe even nine.
Single digits, high single digits requests to go back to the format, which you all know and love. Not to say that we're going to get rid of doing our guests and our interviews with them and our conversations with them, which I think are fascinating and really insightful, but we're going to spice it up. We're going to get Logan back in here a little more often. Logan, now, finally.
He's just a busy man, also.
He's just a busy man.
Tough to get a hold of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got rid of my phone, email, swore off internet this year.
Living in a cottage somewhere in Ojai.
Yes, nice. I do actually, I'm very proud. I won't reveal where I live exactly, but I do live in a fun 1930s cottage now.
Really?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
You actually live there.
That's
your home?
No, I fucking live in a mini golf course. You dumbass. Yes. Fabulous. No, it's a sweet cottage. I was actually afraid we wouldn't get internet.
That's
like
how,
a weekend Airbnb excursion. This is your new residence.
I mean, like, is it in hills or something? That's why you didn't think you'd get internet.
We won't get into specifics.
But like, just hills, people will know where you live.
It's just like an old house. Remember when we lived in the old ass house?
That wasn't.
Freddy?
No, that wasn't
the one
old.
Without the water heater, or and like we'd blow out circuits just by plugging in.
No, that wasn't an old house. That was just an incredibly poorly managed house that we had to suffer through for a year and a half.
One time, Freddie and I lived in a place where we got foreclosed on.
Oh, that was the best. We got we got a letter, and the person goes like, "So, excuse me, you guys owe the person talking to regulars. You guys owe $900,000 to the bank." We're like, "What?" We're like, "Do you think our landlord would want to see this?" They're like, "Yeah, probably," but they were dicks, so we didn't even care.
Well, I've never actually listed who the owner was, and I called him like, "Hey, dude, just so you know, yeah, you owe like $900,000, and your place is being foreclosed by the person who you've given power of attorney to. So we're just gonna leave."
We're leaving.
He's like, "Okay, cool, man, I get it." But like, could you send Rent one more time? I'm like, no. No, we can't send Rent.
Oh, no. This is the worst experience ever. Like, our landlords were up in Chatsworth. I mean, it was where they shoot porn and where bad landlords go. So according to California...
landlords go to
They're
die.
Not the same person.
It's where, according to California landlord-tenant laws, you're required to have a number of things which are basic requirements for an apartment. So everything from you need hot running water and like you need heat in this house. And if you
locked
don't
doors.
Have this, right, doors that lock. If you don't have those.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, you have to have front doors locked.
Those
yep.
All requirements. And wow. If you don't have those, according to California law, if you notify your landlord within 48 hours, if they don't fix it within 48 hours, then you can just leave. Then you are okay. You're free and clear. Any lease you have, you can break. We didn't have hot water for, what, 2 weeks?
Although, dude, did I tell you I switched to cold showers there for a while?
Yeah, I remember the cold shower discussion. I remember that. And you'd be like, it's cool, man. It's cool. Hot water. I'm going to switch to cold showers. I'm like, this is really, really bad.
I've never felt more alive in my life than during those 2 weeks.
Right?
Nah, it's too stressful.
So it wasn't that effective in the end.
No, it was. Like, my heart, my blood pressure went down.
Uh-huh.
Slept better.
What are you talking?
I was sharper
are
at work.
Are you sure?
I feel like I heard more frequencies, actually. Like, dog whistles.
Sounds like you keep doing it.
Yeah, but again, it's like I like to relax at night. Take a hot shower, you know, relax.
So you live in the in my head, when you say cottage, I'm picturing like little squirrels and like blue jays come and alight upon your window.
Snow
cat
peaks. I live in a place called Wikipedia. Like, it's shown on Wikipedia. If you look up Storybook where? Cottage, you will see where I live.
So is it like, so it's not like a Lincoln Log cottage, it's like Candyland.
It's go to Fantasyland at Disneyland and go, like, that is where I live, is okay. In Fantasyland.
Hey,
awesome.
Speaking of living in Disneyland, you guys remember, at Disneyland they have that, like, apartment right above Pirates of the Caribbean?
Mm-hmm. I've heard this.
Yeah,
Dream Suite.
Yeah. What's up with that? How come I can't
Can you rent that?
No.
Can I stay there?
I think it's usually, if, like, Google it.
What gives?
I think we have a comptroller over here. Benji's, like, rocking the laptop.
That's right, we didn't introduce Benji.
What are we Googling, fellas?
Google Dream Suite Disneyland. And
I think
it's usually used as an award.
It's like given to like employees or like special guests.
Dream
it's like
suite.
A.
Here it is.
Yeah, it's got all the suite amenities.
Oh yeah,
it's probably
2,200 square feet luxury apartment.
20? That is wow. 3 times larger than my place.
That's big.
Your magical store.
Than my magical yet cozy.
The word is cozy.
Do the woodland creatures meet you outside your window every morning?
We have a squirrel. We have a squirrel out there. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I do hear like weird squeaking at night.
It's located on top of the Pirates of the
That's
Caribbean.
That's right, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Okay.
How do you get it? Can you rent it?
Can we get it? Let's get it. Logan, how do we get it? That's our mission for the next cast. Someone's staying.
It's only given out as a prize.
Out as a prize.
Okay, so let's get to the bottom of this. Let's win this.
We need a
secret contest.
This quote unquote dream suite. Well, I just always wondered if you actually were in there, you're on property. Like, do they have an employee just sitting there, like making sure you don't just go outside at night and just like piss all over? Like,
I think it's
like
a house on the haunted hill model. Like,
what
where
that mean?
That means you get to stay there for free if you stay there for all 24 hours despite being tormented by various spirits,
by beasts and ghouls.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So I just had a delicious slice of pizza or two or three. Okay. And I was just wondering, guys, I don't think we've ever discussed our favorite pizza toppings.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, I'm sure we've had this conversation 10 times now.
Well, let's have it a second time because I don't, for the life of me, remember your guys' delicious pizza toppings.
Well, what's yours, Logan? Why don't you kick us off?
I'm a traditionalist. Just pepperoni, maybe sausage if you want to kick it up a notch. Although, lately, I've been trying full-on combo. Like, all the fixins.
Like, all of them. Bell peppers, onions.
But at a certain point, it just almost feels like a salad, not a pizza, you know? You gotta keep it to the basics.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's an interesting, interesting assertion. I go with what's known as the hacker special. The hacker, it was made popular by computer hackers in the 90s, which is pepperoni and mushroom.
Why is that a hacker special?
I have no idea. I just know that that's what, like, the combination that was often used.
I think that's actually what you had out there, and I was pissed off that my pepperoni was being infringed upon by mushrooms.
It's disgusting.
Well, it doesn't make big soggy spots.
What's wrong with mushrooms?
Everything. Everything is wrong with them.
Well, you're all wrong, so.
My barbecue chicken, man.
Oh, there you go.
That's
not real pizza, but it's
pepperoni. Hey, it's real pizza.
So when you guys are tasked with, well, Des, I guess you close it out.
Yeah,
but
Des.
Ham and bacon.
Ham and bacon.
So when you guys are ordering pizza for like a party.
Yeah.
Like 3 or 4 pizzas.
Oh, yeah. This is the debate.
This is rough.
The
like,
debate.
Where do you guys...
I didn't do that for focus testing.
You start with the cheese. You got to get the plain cheese because you're never going to know.
But that's the one that nobody eats.
That's not true.
But here's the problem. You always get one...
Not in Los Angeles.
You always get one stupid picky eater in the group
who has to have plain cheese. And as far as I'm concerned, plain cheese, that covers you, you stupid vegetarian. So no vegetarian.
Well, we actually have a child, Benji, our comptroller here, who eats a very specific pizza order. So when we order
pizza.
Oh, you're
calling him a child. I thought you guys were going to bust out that you guys have adopted a child together.
No, we have a human man child who has a very special pizza request. When we order pizza, we have to order one Benji pizza, yes, then only Benji.
What is the Benji pizza?
As you noticed, every time we get pizzas for this, there's always a white pizza.
Some delicious pizzas.
Some delicious white pizzas with chicken and bacon.
Yep, chicken and bacon.
Wait, white? Pizza. Oh, you don't even do the tomato sauce, do you?
No.
Oh,
no tomato sauce. Benji's not a tomato sauce.
He had a pizza that cost like $14, if I remember correctly.
That's the Domino's.
But it was like
Benji special.
It was like chicken and like four cheeses.
It's chicken,
and like
bacon,
extra white
four
sauce.
Cheeses.
And that was a good pizza.
It's a good pizza.
But it's like, is you don't spend $14 there.
It's like a white Alfredo sauce.
Yeah. That doesn't count as a pizza, as far as I'm concerned.
It may not, but you should try it, because it is actually
pretty
delicious.
Dude, it's
pretty good.
So white, though.
It is.
It's
not my favorite, but it's good.
I don't think if it's not tomato sauce, I don't think it counts as a pizza.
Yeah, I don't think so.
How do you guys feel about ordering eccentric pizzas for parties? Like, where it's like,
oh,
hey,
like
we
going crazy?
Need pizzas for the parties.
And then it's like, hey, wait, hold on. Before, I know you guys just want, like, a Hawaiian and a bit. Hold on. Let me just.
I know, but
just,
how eccentric can you get with a pizza?
Let me just
order
Hawaiian.
From, say, Hawaiian. That's not eccentric.
That's
everyone
not
has Hawaiian pizza.
For you get three pizzas for 20 people, and you're going to make one of them Hawaiian?
I know a lot
that's
of
the
people
smallest
that order Hawaiian pizza.
Half Hawaiian, half vegetarian.
Oh, yeah, there you go. You just throw all the crappy ones in the corner.
And then you get a big meat one.
That sounds like the worst party ever.
Yeah, it's not for... There's going to be somebody who wants at least one slice of vegetarian, and there's some weird fools that want...
Wait, just one pizza, half and half? Are you saying the whole order?
No,
half veggie.
No, one pizza. If you do all vegetarian, it's not going
to
get
I love that we upgraded this from an event that needs pizza to a fucking pizza party.
It's a pizza party.
Hold the phone. You're telling me this is a party?
It's a terrible
party. With only half of
what kind of pizza party is this? A pizza party.
If you do three pizzas, one of them should be half vegetarian, half Hawaiian.
If you guys could do like a signature, like you know, like you have to kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
You can't order one off the menu. You're going to create like the Matt Arnold special.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What was the Matt Arnold special?
I worked at a pizza place at CityWalk.
Oh, you got to tell these stories. These are amazing
stories. I mean, they're not great stories, but
okay. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for undercutting.
I made pizza. No, but
if you're wondering where Matt gets all his great storyteller talents, it's from his experience as a pizza man. Every great writer begins as a pizza man.
But I mean, you were working at the cashier, and then there was the you know
Salinger.
Whatever the. chefs that made the pizza, and they would bring their own ingredients to make special pizzas.
We've had this conversation.
Yeah, we made like a buffalo. It was like a buffalo chicken sort of pizza with
sort of buffalo chicken.
Well, yeah, it was like, you know, it was still hot. You would mix the buffalo chicken sauce with the tomato sauce before you put it on the pizza, so it was like spicy tomato sauce.
You know what I think would be good? Like a crispy thin crust with smoked mozzarella and a balsamic reduction drizzle.
That's like bruschetta.
Exactly.
Bruschetta.
It's like a big
bruschetta. That's how they
say like
hi to
your mother.
I say, yeah.
balsamic drizzle. I don't think
drizzle.
I
love a good balsamic reduction, Dez. I'll back you up on that.
Thank you, Logan.
I've never heard Dez say drizzle in
Freddie,
the food.
It's one of my favorite words, so I relish the opportunity.
So, Freddie, you wanted to talk about Sundance movies, huh?
Yeah. So we were just Dez, myself,
Ben, and Benji.
Benji, the two Bens, and we were at Sundance.
How do they
now.
Feel about them being grouped together like that?
The two Bens?
Are you guys okay with that?
My name's not Ben.
Well, it's not Ben.
It's not Ben.
Apparently,
right.
We only had one Ben on that trip.
Right. So we're at Sundance, which is in Park City, Utah. As first time, I think for anyone?
I've been there before. I road tripped back in like 2008
for Sundance or just Park City
to Sundance.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we were there for, under the dime of Nintendo. We did a collaborative video with the Hey Ash, What You Playing folks, and they were premiering it at Sundance, which. I'm not going to get in the way of people's marketing strategies. It just seemed like a strange place to premiere an internet video, Sundance. But
seemed like a lot of hoopla there. It might have gotten a bit lost in the shuffle.
That's true. That's true. We were there a little bit early. And yeah, so we just hung around Park City. They put us up in the Deer Valley condos, which we were told by everybody we ran into was like the ritzy place to stay.
Apparently it was the spot.
Yeah. It was condos.
It was nice. It was a big like three-story cozy cabin.
Is it snowing there right now?
There was snow on the ground, and I went skiing and went snowboarding.
You guys
and
hit the slopes.
I hit the slopes, and the slopes hit me pretty hard. I took a jump. It's a bad idea.
I
didn't go for a jump.
Are you a Black Diamond man?
I'm a Black Diamond man. Here's the problem with Black Diamond. Generally, when you're talking about skiing, is that Black Diamonds usually implies presence of moguls.
Yeah, not for snowboards.
And that's not really a snowboard thing.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about the time I took some moguls on a snowboard in Park City?
No. This is a remarkably specific and nice segue. Relevant segue.
This marked the end of my snowboard career. Because you can't snowboard through moguls. Like, that's not what snowboards are for.
Very difficult.
I was like, you know what? I'm just going to slowly slalom back and forth down this incredibly steep 45 degree, like, grade mogul field.
What run were you on? You were on a Black Diamond run?
I think I took a wrong turn.
By the way, just for those of you who aren't really skiers, the signs they have are gigantic and clear.
But that's not Logan, though. He had to forge his own trail.
To be fair, like, everything's downhill and some things are more downhill than others. So, like, it's definitely possible to, like, find yourself accidentally on a double black, or not double black, but a Black Diamond. Mm-hmm. Black Diamond equals difficult for all you people who aren't snow folk out there.
Snow folk.
And yeah, snow folk, you don't know what Black Diamond is.
And they got double black.
Yeah, so Black Diamond. So I was facing the hill. So my back is, you know, turned to the 45 degree like death.
Your
face.
Yeah.
And I catch my edge and I go, and I fall back in my
no
head.
No way.
I literally go full back, slinky style, and smack my head against my own board because I have incredibly good stretching powers. But that built up enough tension that then my board ripped around and smacked me in my head the other way, which built enough tension to then rip my head back into my board. At which point, I just bludgeoned my head while slinking down this mogul field. They thought I was dead, actually, at the end. Yeah, I got up there like my parents who were watching me.
They thought you had died.
My dad was like, I thought that was it. I got to take the ride down on the snowmobile that day, and I was like, I'm done. I don't need to do this ever again. And I tried skiing one other time. I was like, this just isn't fun. This isn't good. Like, let's just hang out inside and play video games.
Wow.
So, yeah, no, I know what it's like. I know what Park City is like. I know what snowboarding is like. I know what moguls are like.
One of my favorite snowboarding stories was when you first start out snowboarding, getting on a chairlift is a little bit of an ordeal. You have to, you know, angle yourself a certain way and just make sure that, you know, you're balanced and you go up and go. So I remember taking snowboarding lessons, and we stopped at the bottom, and the instructor was like, all right, okay, this guy. Just keep an eye on this guy and just keep an eye on what he does. He looks like he knows what he's doing. And the guy was, you know, decked out and good-looking in terms of, like, just looked like he knew what he was doing.
Good-looking man.
So he's a good-looking man. Stood there, the chairlift comes around.
Hey, like his go. Wait, what? Like what he was like, wearing? Like, stuff was good, man. Or like he had good facial structure,
handsome,
good bones,
handsome, man.
Handsome, chiseled, high cheekbones.
Just he had an air of confidence about man. Him,
like a president.
So he turned around, the chairlift came, and he grabbed it, and he started going. And then, so you remember, you have 1 foot on your board, 1 foot off your board. The front edge of the board caught and whipped him forward. So he flew off the front of the lift, and then he put his head up, being like, what just happened? And then the lift slammed into the back of his head. Oh, he's like, go, fuck! I think he started screaming, and then the instructor's like, yeah, you know, not that guy. That. Like, they had to stop the lift, and he was, like, screaming bloody murder. They had to, like, drag him off. I was like, wow, you picked the one guy out of everybody today to, like, have us emulate.
I think it's very telling that we always have issues with the edges with the snow. It's not a very, like, wieldy instrument.
No,
it really
feels
like something where they thought about what would look cool and then try to reverse engineer something that felt cool out of it.
Well, I will say, though, so it's been so long since I snowboarded that, like, the snowboard technology has, like, moved way past where I thought it'd be. Because remember, when I started, there was a big debate between clip-in bindings versus the strap-in bindings.
It's all strap-ons now, right?
Yeah, it's all strap-ons now. But back in the time, all this crazy technology was like, you could just click it in because everyone's like, well, we don't want to sit down and like try and do your bindings every time you get off the lift. That sucks. Let's just strap it in. But it was a huge debate. But then now, like, there's stuff like they deliberately make the edge of the board wavy so that when you're flexing it, it has more surface area contact on the edges.
But what does that have to do with how you attach your feet? I thought you were going to go somewhere with that.
No, I didn't go anywhere with it.
I was like, I can't wait to hear like about the new strap-on
the new
technology.
Feet strappies.
No, it's just exact. But yeah.
Nope, those are the same, but they have wavy edges.
The exact same.
Technology, you guys. Technology. Exactly. Couldn't fix the feet strappies, so we made it all wavy.
So at Sundance.
What a piece of shit. Why would you do this to yourself? There's fucking roller coasters for this shit.
So at Sundance, you guys, I think, were gone by this point, right? But we saw a movie.
We had left the day before you.
So we saw a movie. I stuck around a little bit because there was an Indiegogo thing. But we saw a movie, and it was truly, honestly, one of the worst movies.
Were you the only one that saw the movie?
No, I saw it with the Hayash folks.
Okay.
It was, and they all agreed, by the way. So this movie called Young Ones, and we're just like, what is this?
You're getting after him. You're not even going to protect the innocent. Care.
It was just really bad. It was like the guy tried to do like the Tarantino like chapter. You know, as soon as it was like chapter one, character name on it, and it like holds on it, and it's like the person's face is like, okay, this is just gonna be crappy Tarantino. And so here's where it really summed up for me. There's Elle Fanning plays a female character who literally in one scene screams at Michael Shannon the quote, "I hate you and I love him," and then runs away to the next scene where then she runs to her brother and screams, "I need money." Like, and it's like, wow.
This sounds kind of awesome.
So bad.
Is this a drama?
It's so bad. It's like a...
is this a sci-fi film?
It is. It's a future...
What? Doesn't sound like that,
wait,
right?
Wait, it's a sci-fi film?
Yeah, yes. It's like a futuristic, like, sold. Mad Max.
It probably won't be out for a long time.
So it's like post-APOC.
Post-APOC. And we're just like, why did this movie get made? And then we just like... It was just like everyone
sounds
was...
Sounds like a rapper.
Post-APOC?
Post-APOC. Yeah.
That's a good name.
Post-APOC.
Yeah.
You
can have that one, Logan.
How's your DJing coming along, Logan?
I mean, okay, so we're going to talk about DJing. Huh?
Yeah, we are.
No. I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't actually touched that thing for a while.
I know, which
now.
Is great. We got to get you in here.
I think the last time you came.
To show off your non-skills.
I've been trying to sell this thing to Freddie for the last year.
No, you can't. Freddie, don't accept. Do not accept the trade until Logan comes in and does a demo.
Did you move this thing to your new cottage?
I did.
So it's like one of those fucking things that, like, your girlfriend's
your
like, why
cottage,
why are we
booth.
Carrying this into our cottage?
I can't fit. So the place is so tiny. I actually have to get rid of. I have a bucket of DVDs I need to get rid of.
Like literally a bucket.
One of those like storage containers that can like definitely hide. Like you could put a body in this thing. Like if you cut it up, but. I'm talking like 100 DVDs. Most of them still in shrink wrap. Some of them still with the price tag on. I had like 3 copies of Commando, like 2 Roadhouses. I had Knocked Up.
How
still
often
the
did
shrink.
You?
I'm like, why did I buy Knocked Up? Like, what? Just, I was like, stupid, Logan.
I can
stupid.
Tell exactly why.
I like you just walking down an aisle and just seeing
it's Costco. When
Commando,
I was
like, whatever.
Shop compulsively at Costco, and they're right next to the checkout. And the prices are so reasonable there.
Yeah.
And so,
even
yeah,
if you
man.
Have it, it's worth it.
Well, you realize that you're not going to be able to get rid of these.
I don't know what to do with them.
You have to, I think you have to give them away or just
Craigslist.
Trash them.
You just give the whole bucket away on Craigslist to say whole mystery box.
I think the bucket's going to devalue
DVD.
It, though, because these are some fucking grade A.
I don't think
DVD.
So. You might find Costco for really cheap.
Commando, I mean, certainly that commands a price in this market.
Well, Matt, didn't you try to get rid of a whole bunch of your
insane DVD
collection?
I did get rid of a
DVD
whole
collection?
Bunch.
How did that go?
It went okay. I went to Amoeba and FYE or whatever. Averages on like $2 or $3 a DVD.
Yeah. I think I've learned that it's not worth buying media. We're in a post media purchasing.
Yeah, I'm about
there. Yeah, I don't buy too much, but the Criterion's like stuff that has like commentaries and special features that you can only get online.
Yeah, I don't even
what
watch
if,
special
let
features.
Let me ask you this.
Anymore.
If Criterion said, by the way, here's a $10 download of this and here's all the extra features and stuff you can pull it up in VLC and listen to it, would you still get the disc?
Probably not. I mean, if it's the streaming was really, it's also
I don't
still.
Think I would.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it still depends. Blu-ray is still better than like Netflix HD.
Yeah, for sure,
But I don't know.
Yeah. So
it's definitely limited buying DVDs a lot.
The lesson here is don't go. Oh, I need to collect Blu-rays.
Yeah,
the idea of collecting media is just
gone.
Asinine
it's,
at
yeah.
this point.
By the way, if you walk right outside this door and look to the far wall, you'll see Matt's collection of board games.
Well, it's different.
Well, yeah. Board games are like they're
that's not
gonna
be replaced.
Forever. You know, I gotta say, books. There's not a book I regret purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the DVDs that I'm feeling burned with. But then I also have this DJ station. Yeah, that's hiding under like some of like Nico and Sam's like camo.
How does it fit exactly in your wonderful woodland cottage?
Well, there's 2 containers in a corner that I'm like, well, I gotta get rid of these at some point. Like, that's how it fits. Is the container corner?
It's just
so,
completely.
But I have been thinking about dusting it off and maybe you know.
Getting some beats down?
Getting some beats down before I part with it. Because I don't think that's going to last for much longer.
Hey, here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to somehow get yourself a DJing gig somewhere. And just, I just want to see you fake your way through like a hotel lobby. It's like, hey, we need a DJ.
Like
for
a high school party.
Here, why don't you?
Logan had a high school party.
I think you guys need to make it easier for me. I think you need to set up a DJ gig for me.
Hey, we will. We'll do it.
If you set up a DJ gig.
Controller.
Do it.
Dude, party.
Set it up.
We can use that space.
Yeah. You guys
give me a DJ gig, and here's the, I got one thing in my rider clause. There's got to be over 200 people there, and they can't. Not one can leave.
We'll make that a stretch
an
goal
hour
or
for 1 hour.
Can we make that a Kickstarter stretch goal for?
Sure.
Invite us party.
You get to go to Logan's DJ curated party.
Or Logan DJs a party.
And
for
I need $80 of a slush fund for Party City. So I can get all the sweet lights.
You can buy like 1.5 lights.
Yeah, we'll set up lights for you. So we have lights.
Okay,
we'll be
okay. And a stretch goal.
Lasers.
Stretch goal for this thing. Yeah. I'm gonna ask you guys. You can say no, but I think it's gonna really take you to the next level.
I think it's a great idea.
I think you gotta tinfoil the whole fucking room. So that thing's reflective. So when those lights go, man, they go everywhere.
It's like shiny side
up. Is that
up.
Safe? I just feel like for some reason you just put tinfoil across the whole
floor.
Not if
we had like green lasers going off.
Yeah, it's like
12 blinded in a party accident.
A freak tinfoil accident.
I just feel like it rips apart and it would be slippery.
But yeah, dude, no. Just don't slide
you get,
across.
You get 200 folks in there.
It would rip
in
like 2 seconds.
So you're saying we can get 200 folks.
It gets so hot, too. Are you getting shut up in a furnace of sweat and
Logan,
it's the worst idea ever.
Logan is pushing us into the worst scenario possible. Possible. That's
you know,
what he wants.
You know those fire blankets?
He wants us to create hell so he can DJ. Yeah.
I'm talking some fucking halogen bulbs, some tinfoil.
It's like everybody's in
we
a fire
body,
blanket.
We get the body going. I'll play some jams
that's
for
like,
you.
There's this one time at USC we decided to tear up. For some reason we're like, let's tear up newspapers while we're sitting in a small classroom. We were watching like Crank and Speed Racer. We're just tearing up newspapers. We're like, we're going to make a big like confetti room or whatever, right? We filled up the classroom to about 2 feet high. Like the entire
the whole
classroom. Yeah, it was not EVK, the Foreign Policy Building or whatever. Wow. It was a big tower.
Yeah.
2 minutes in, we were just gross, covered in ink. It was like 140 degrees in there. Like people were about to pass out. And then we just left. I feel so bad for the cleaning lady
that came in the next day.
No.
I feel like you just admitted to a crime.
Probably.
It feels so
but
bad.
If you tinfoil that thing, it's going to keep the floor real slick so we can just like squeegee it out.
People just falling into a quarter inch of sweat.
In between
and blood.
Like while the songs are playing, when I'm not having to mix, I throw towels out there. Like, tie yourself off! Hey, everybody! Tie yourself off! Get ready for the next song!
Get ready for the next song.
That's the most
I've never heard a DJ yell that before. Get ready, because it's coming!
Hey,
it'll be up shortly.
Is it hot in here? It's so hot! It's got sweat out!
Could it be a foam party? I've always wanted to do a foam party.
Those are awful.
Foam? I know, I've heard.
You mean it's like a foam pit?
Or it's like all
the bubbles.
Like bubbles.
Foam.
Oh, foam.
That sounds horrible. It's horrible.
I thought you were talking about like a gymnastics class.
It's hot and it's wet and it's sticky and it smells. It's not a fun thing.
All those things always sound like bad ideas. Like, they do like the McDonald's like playhouse like balls or something for like a dance floor. It's like that's got to be
well, for a ball pit for a dance floor.
That's the worst idea.
Just people rolling their ankles.
That
everywhere.
Might not be a real thing. That just might have been.
I think you made. That
I might have just been imagining that one day. I would. I mean, I would try it.
But yeah, no, I'm totally down to DJ that. I want to even practice.
So can it be a monthly thing? Can you throw a party?
Well, isn't there websites where you can be like, hey, 200 people sign up for this event and then we'll do it? Like, isn't there?
What you gotta do is go around Hollywood and hang up those posters
with those like green to pink.
We'll
to
put posters
like,
that we're gonna put you on Craigslist too. Yeah, we'll see what kind of gig
featured and everything.
Well, it's
you will come pay cover charge.
It's one of those where you just park in a parking lot, like in a totally different city, and a black van just picks you up and brings you to our suite.
Your spot. Yeah.
Give
a
DJ name so we can.
I think it was DJ Shock and Awe.
Yeah, Shock and Awe.
It was DJ Shock and Awe.
It's pretty good. It's a good DJ.
But you would be Shock, or are you Shock and Awe?
It's Shock and Awe, but maybe we could spell it fun, like Jacques.
Jacques.
I feel like
Jacques and Awe.
A-N-D-A-H. Jacques and Awe.
It's like, hey,
he's French.
He's killing it in the French electro house scene, guys. He's coming to the States. It's like United States world premiere. DJ Jacques and Awe.
I feel like a DJ part, like that's the best place. Like 30 minutes in, just close all the doors and turn off all the lights and just go fucking weird with it, like your face on a wall is like nobody's leaving, and just sounds, and everybody who's listening is fucking terrified.
Man, I wasn't anyone to spoil it. I was just trying to. I was wanting you guys to give me the base ingredients so I could cook you a delightful.
It'd be amazing.
Stew.
And then within about 5 minutes, just start going again. And everybody's kind of awkwardly dancing because they just had 5 minutes of pure terror.
Can we go? This is bad.
Yeah, I don't know. He might do that again.
You can't go. No.
When, no.
So Logan's not going to practice halogen lights, ball pit, tinfoil floor. hour.
This place is
no one
burn
can
down.
Leave for at least an hour.
It sounds like Easy Bake Oven Night.
And real quick, like we're gonna be responsible for 200 people.
We could cook eggs on the floor. That'd be like the big features. Like, let's cook some eggs on this floor.
You ever want to go to a dance party that's so hot you could cook your eggs in the middle of your dance party? I really wish I had some scrambled eggs in between these two sick beats.
Real quick,
the floor is 190 degrees.
And by the way,
the worst idea ever.
People's rubber soles just melting. The matrix falls.
Just third-degree burns.
People are grabbing each other's arms. Their skin's ripped off.
Just sloughing off. This party sounds epic, you guys.
You guys, but Des,
people will be talking about.
Smells like hamburger in here.
It's so gross.
Des, you missed one vital component, which is that he expects people to pay for this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. No, admission required.
Of course they would. Why wouldn't they?
Cover charge.
If you
build it up.
You get a bunch of free stuff when you come.
You get eggs. You get a light show. You get the world premiere of DJ Jacques.
Jacques and now.
Jacques and da.
Ada.
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 Which makes you sound like maybe an Indian guy. Just Bollywood beats.
Yeah, but I just come out looking like this.
Eagle shirt and all.
Oh man.
All right.
So guys, that's getting a little sick.
I am. I'm a little sick.
What's your guys' favorite anti-sick like maneuvers?
Oh yeah,
like everybody's
yeah.
like, oh, what's the thing? Airborne? Which
there's
was
like,
so wasn't much... that just like a school teacher?
It
who...
was. Well, which by the way, I love about airborne is they're like invented by a school teacher as if that's like somehow like that is like a pedigree of like invent. It's like
a bridge being like this was designed by an accountant.
Yeah, yeah, no, like, exactly.
Oh, yeah, we can drive across this.
Exactly. Who's sitting here looking at like, oh yeah, invented by a school teacher? It's like, because I think that they would say like if it was like. Invented by a scientist. People be like, I don't trust that.
There's a weird like anti-science thing.
There's a weird anti-science thing.
That's very
it's like
true.
Invented by a school teacher. It's like, what does a school teacher have anything to know anything about drug formulation? How can we trust this person? It's like, well, she's around sick kids all the time. Certainly that must have some degree of help with her ability. It's like, car designed by a car salesman. It's like, okay.
I think it's because remember those old commercials? They would always cut to the doctor. Hi, I'm Dr. So-and-so,
yeah.
And I approve this bullshit yep. that you're selling. I think people just feel like it's a scam now.
People just they get their ideas reinforced. I mean, there's so much. Again, it's too bad Logan's not here. Because I'm sure he has opinions on this, but there's a whole anti-intellectualism.
Yeah, yeah.
Like again, we were talking about even my dad's bringing up climate change.
Yeah,
and this guy just did a fact, and it was like last year there's like 2,200 articles written on climate change, published articles written on climate change.
Yeah,
one denied that it was man-made. Right.
Yeah.
Sure enough, like people are like, well, I mean, whatever. Scientists
there's
just want to.
There's
it's like
debate.
There are still articles written denying evolution. Like scientists love writing counter shit. And if there wasn't a consensus, there would be articles published on climate change.
Well, and also my favorite thing is there's a great webcomic which was just like a guy listing like all the things like we need to do to stop man-made climate things. It was just like we need to switch to renewable energies.
Oh, yeah.
We need to do so and so. We need to like make sure that like we don't overuse resources, blah, blah, blah. And then the guy in the back's like, yeah, but what if climate change is fake and we make the world a better place for nothing? This is literally the argument that we're going with.
But it's the same thing with autism and vaccines, which
is
complete bullshit. And I love that website that tracks.
Do you guys hear about that Twitter bot that combats climate change deniers?
Where
this guy's just like, I'm sick of arguing with these people. And so this bot just scours the internet for people pooping on climate change and auto replies to them.
That's amazing.
Based on the argument they're making and like references articles. And even like, you know, if they go back and forth, it has like a bunch of like different articles to supply. And he says the vast majority of them, not to target anybody with this, but the vast majority of them usually devolve into the guy being like, well, God made it that way. And he's like, yeah, I don't really know how to even respond to that.
Right.
There's obviously disagreement on certain aspects of it, but it's like, it's pretty... Like, read it.
Live in water world pretty soon?
No, I mean, that's
not
where there's a lot of disagreement on, like, what's actually going
to
happen.
Do you think
like,
we'll live to see L.A. go underwater?
That'd be sick.
Hey guys, how's it going? Jimmy Wong, aka Ted from VGHS here, telling you to check out shop.rocketjump.com. We've got brand new merchandise like iPhone cases and iPad decals to shirts, Blu-rays, and posters, including brand new Season 2 designs from our friends at Danger Brain. There's also the incredibly popular VGHS hoodie, and some of our older shirts are on sale for a great price. So make sure you check it out right after this podcast at shop.rocketjump.com.
I think our generation has the potential to live like an additional 10 or 20 years. But it sucks because I feel like the next group
they're gonna get like an extra hundo.
I think I'm gonna go immortal, dude.
You think so? You're your generation.
You think that you're on the track to immortality right now?
Nah, I think we're.
If my heart doesn't give out,
yeah. I think that's gonna be the thing that freaks us.
Okay.
Out. Like when we're 60, everybody's gonna start getting like anti-aging stuff that like makes them like fucking live forever. And we're gonna be like, this is wrong.
This is terrifying.
Like we're just gonna miss it.
Yeah. We're the one generation that's gonna upload ourselves to computers to become immortal, while everybody else is just immortal hot people. Yeah. And they're like, this is amazing. We're like looking at like, oh damn it, we're just computers.
Boom, 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 boom. There's a little bit of Futurama about that. Where the retirement home is just like the Matrix. It's just everybody, like the people of a certain age, are just all like, yeah, load up into computers. But everybody else is, yeah, immortal or anti-aging, etc.
That's rough, man.
It's gonna be tough.
So
that's gonna be a strange thing. Not to mention if anti-aging medicine is probably not considered like necessary. So the only people that can afford it are wealthy people. It's gonna be pretty insane.
Well, I think people just start getting murdered. People getting popped.
It'll be a strange time.
Yeah,
if that happens.
But to go back to the anti-sickness thing really quick, one thing that I noticed is that every single time I'm like, oh, I'm getting sick, every person without fail, especially in LA, they come up to you and you're just like, you know what you need? You need this. You need to get this thing. This will save it. It's like,
so what's the thing? What's the answer?
It's always some like, oh, it's this, this supplement or this thing. I'm always just like,
have you tried them?
I have. They'll do shit.
I do the same thing every time. I just drink like nonstop water and orange juice. I drink those like vitamin C things, like
vitamin C,
like,
which has no actual effect on you now.
Eight a day,
nothing to do with it. Zinc actually is the only thing with any sort of
zinc pills nonstop. I'm gonna have to see about it. I don't know enough to argue about the vitamin C thing. I just know that one Nobel Prize guy, fucking, just declared that vitamin C was the greatest thing in the world, and he had like 80,000 milligrams a day of it. Even though doctors were like, that's dangerous. He's like, no, it's not. I'm a fucking doctor. It's not dangerous. And he would just eat that nonstop. And like 98.
That's a lot of citric acid. Like, you probably get a bellyache.
No, vitamin C pills. Vitamin C pills.
That's the worst of it. It's not a big deal.
I'm 98, but I got a bellyache.
Okay, well, what would you, Logan? You sound like you don't want to die. Is that fair?
Do you want to die?
No, but let me put it this way. What?
I think at a certain point, I'd
what
want to.
Mild inconvenience will you be willing to put up with in an immortal life? Like, what level does that go to? So it's like, let's say you can live forever. However, you have to take a piss every 20 minutes.
I don't want to deal with that.
Okay. All right. Hold on.
Unless it's socially acceptable to just wet myself. In the future, if that's okay, I'm cool with it.
You're just like a bird. You just control it. It just goes
in the future, if we all wear diapers, like all catheterized, like we're all just got our colonoscopy bags. Like,
yeah, there's a solution for that.
Yeah.
There's a solution.
So you would. So yeah, you could just have like a intrauterine device.
For immortality? Does that also mean like, you shoot me? Am I fucking Superman?
No, you're not Superman. Yeah,
if I'm Superman, but I just have to pee all the time, like that's pretty badass. Like, let me just lift this car up. Oh, I have to pee. And everybody's like, oh,
he's
cool.
Is this like death becomes her immortality? Like if you fuck up your face really bad, you're going to look like that for the rest of eternity?
Immortality would be a bad deal, I think.
It might be a bad deal.
Yeah.
Dude, in the future, all that stuff will be solved.
Really, everything will be solved in the future. That's what we're going with.
When we're talking about minor stuff, like your face is gonna be all messed up.
Like, hey, if you get a shotgun in the face, just been fine.
The future will solve that.
I think we got that one. Like, give that one like 50 years. I think we got that
it's
one.
It's probably true, actually.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that. So yeah, I mean, I guess minor conveniences, especially ones that can be solved through like technology. I'm down for that. Let's do it.
I'm like already tired. I'm like 30. I'm not even 30 yet.
And you're just like, I'm over.
I'm like, I don't know. I think it could happen.
Oh, gosh. That's right. You know that it's Matt's birthday.
It is Matt's birthday today. Happy birthday,
dude. How old are you?
I'm 28.
How do you feel about where you're at right now?
You know.
Do you think this is where you'd be like when you were like
18? I didn't think this was where I would be, but no, it's pretty cool.
Do you think 18-year-old you would be like, good job?
Yeah, I think you'd be pretty happy. I feel pretty good. Yeah, I feel pretty good about my life.
Like, what do you have, like, one thing you want to work on the next year?
I think I just need to be a higher functioning adult. I think I still essentially don't take care of myself across the board, whether it's finances or just being a responsible person.
So just be more of an adult?
Yeah, I'm pretty head in the clouds. It's a good thing my girlfriend is very responsible. Otherwise,
if you Freddy lost has that her, problem knows, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be bad.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a while.
Hey, what are you going to get for your birthday, man?
I don't know.
You get a cake?
I got some bread pudding.
We had bread pudding cakes today.
I love
with
bread
like
pudding.
Candles?
Yeah, with like candles.
You blow out those candles?
No, I'm sick, so I just waved.
You waved them out?
I waved them out.
See you, candles.
like a like a
like
kung
over
fu
like
master?
You know, yeah, I did. Right above this. It's pretty impressive.
You just waved with your hand.
You weren't there to celebrate my birthday, Freddie.
I was going to get you. I'm getting you something. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Excited.
What's the best birthday present you ever got?
I don't know.
What? What's the best birthday present you've ever got, Logan?
My family's never been a big birthday guy, because we have a big birthday
family. Big birthday dude.
Hey!
Well, we have not a dude.
we have a big family. It's like, and our cousins are nearby, so what we would do is you'd celebrate, like, February, March, January, February birthdays.
Oh, you do by quarter? You like do quarterly birthdays?
It's like corporate birthday.
It's like
two
corporate
months.
Birthday. The Arnold family quarterly
that's
report.
That's exactly what it was. So, like, I celebrated with, like, two uncles, another one of my cousins, and an aunt. And so it was, like, five people's birthdays.
That's
so
sad.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a big, like, celebrating guy in general. So
really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you just say that because nobody likes to celebrate for you?
No, I'm not that guy who doesn't get like presents often. It's just I don't think of like.
Are you gonna get yourself a present? You're gonna treat yourself right?
I did. I bought myself the Buster Keaton complete collection. Blu-ray. As we were talking about this,
yeah, no.
It's the only way you can get those films.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't stream them, download them.
No, Kino owns them, so they're pretty strict.
Oh, that's brutal.
It's brutal. That was good. How about you? What's your favorite birthday present you've ever gotten?
Oh, probably like a Super Nintendo.
It's a pretty rad gift.
That's pretty good.
It is a pretty rad gift. Yeah, like I guess you could say like a car, like you have the 16 or 17 year old, like, oh, that's kind of like a birthday gift.
Yeah, yeah.
But dude, like nothing really beats like the console growing up.
Mm-hmm. Like now, when you're young, like your first
one.
Like
now you're like, I guess I'll just buy it. I'll just buy it.
Oh yeah, right?
about every year. It's like,
they're kind of the same as the old ones now. But like, dude, like when I was like 7 or 8 or whenever the Super Nintendo came out.
Yes.
Like, that was a big deal.
It was a 64.
Like $120. It was like, Jesus. Like,
yep.
Have you seen the old Toys R Us ads to see like, because games didn't used to be standardized in price.
Oh yeah.
So it'd be like, you want Shaq Fu on Genesis? Well, you can pony up $89.
Yeah, we're looking
at
N64. Like, Turok was like $90 when it came out.
Oh, yeah.
My gosh.
Like, super really? 64 cartridges were super expensive. $70.
And Super Nintendo, maybe I got it like after it came out, but I remember like it came with Super Mario Brothers. Like it had a game with it.
Yeah.
And like that seems not to be the case.
Nintendo
as much
always
anymore.
Does that
Nintendo
now.
Does.
I mean, they're like,
wait, hey, Matt.
Yeah,
Mister, I love Nintendo so darn much. How do you feel about this Wii U business?
Wii U not hitting their requirements.
We're gonna get about 9 million. Oh wait, turns out it's like 2.5 million. Timpani horn.
They did. They were expecting like 25 billion in profit, and they did like 9 billion in loss or something.
I hear they're gonna get out of the hardware game.
No, they're not.
You don't think
so? No, they're too. Their company wouldn't do that.
They have too much of pride.
Yeah, actually, I'm just reading this book, Nintendo Magic, because I am. I'm fascinated by Nintendo. I love them as a company. So
yeah,
they're a fascinating
business
culture.
Yakuza ties, right?
It's incredibly hard. They never do interviews. So this is like the first book written about their company and since Game Over. I don't know. They did not market it well, and they didn't do a good job. We'll see what happens.
I feel like I see tweets from you every once in a while that's like, is this Nintendo thing a myth? Like, in Japan, it's doing awesomely.
Well, the
it's kind of like you're a climate change denier, but for Nintendo.
What it is the the 3DS, well, there's a few things. One is still doing better than GameCube, so we'll see what happens. But the PS4 and Xbox did way better than I thought it was going to do. So I was definitely wrong on that. But the 3DS is still the fastest selling console. We'll see what happens. Again, I've been saying from the beginning, I think their next console and the next handheld is the same thing. As I think where they're going with it, yeah.
So you think like the 4DS is going to be like...
It just plugs into your, you know, it has like a streaming thing to your TV. It's your 3DS.
So it's like one of those things
TV.
At the shopping mall that's like an Atari joystick that like plugs into your component video.
But with a 3DS.
Comes with 99 games. 99 in one. 200. It's always 99. It's always like 199 in one. It's like just round up. Add one more game to it. Nope. Has to be 99.
Well, yeah.
Don't anyway. Get that.
It sounds good.
It doesn't.
Yeah, but then we use a weird console. It'll be interesting to see how they respond to it. I'll put it this way. When Microsoft or Sony responds to something, it's very similar. You kind of understand how their culture works, right? It's like, all right, the next step is bigger graphics. It's kind of the technology is going to be home entertainment. We have to figure out how to get all these technologies together, make a platform that works for developers. Nintendo is so different in that regard. Nintendo is like Miyamoto and those guys, like, what are the next games we want to make? And like, they really don't have a concern as to whether or not it's actually going to work for the marketplace.
So, should I get a Wii U or no?
I mean, you don't seem to like many games in general, so I don't know.
I mean, I hear this Mario is pretty stellar.
The Mario is amazing. I mean, I'll tell you, I like my Wii U quite a bit. But I mean, I like Nintendo
games.
But
it's called Stockholm Syndrome, which is what that is.
I love my Nintendo game.
So Logan, obviously, you're very well known as a critic of, well, as a person who doesn't tolerate video games, in general.
I tend to be very sour on many of them. So, have you guys played Bubsy 3D?
Yes. Bubsy 3D goes like to the museum, goes to the art museum.
Like the original Bubsy?
Do you know somebody like made a Bubsy 3D remake in Unity?
Oh my God.
Where he visits the James Turrell exhibit at LACMA?
What?
And I have to check that out. It is amazing.
What?
I won't spoil it for you. Just Google Bubsy 3D LACMA.
You're kidding.
I'm dead serious. It's amazing. Play it to the end.
That's insane.
Play it to the end.
Well, I'm curious.
Nidhogg?
I want to play Nidhogg.
We should play that.
Let's play that right after. Okay.
We'll
it's actually quite good.
It's quite good.
But I want to hear like kind of your. I want to go down. I want you to go down sort of the games of last year, and just I'm just so curious about your thoughts.
What were your favorite games?
What were your favorite games last year?
You know, I actually did have a few favorites. Okay. Frog Fractions is still the winner.
Yeah. Frog Fractions number one.
Frog Fractions was incredible.
It was
similar to Frog Fractions, which a lot of people pooped on, especially Blade roomed with this guy for a while, Blade, my brother. But what's the one where the guy's like walking around in office like cubicles while the guy
Stanley
narrates?
Stanley Parable.
Stanley Parable. Oh, I love
it. I thought Stanley Parable was a blast, dude.
Wow.
I would have laughed out loud.
I would have been 50-50 on whether or not you thought
same.
It was just
I would have
bullshit.
Thought, I was about to bring it up. I was a little scared because I was going to yell at people like, whoa, bad, that's a dumb game.
See, I was prepped to be like, oh, this is going to be like artsy.
Yeah.
And to be fair, like, I opened it up and it totally bugged out on me like twice. Like grade A game-stopping bugs.
Yeah.
So not the most robust game by any stretch of imagination. But no, once like I actually got around the bugs, it was like, a lot of fun.
That surprises me.
It was like
you softened up, Logan.
No. Here's the thing.
It's a clever game.
So like you talked about what was it, Youngblood or whatever, the sci-fi.
Yes, yeah.
So you have to judge anything based on what it wants to be to a certain extent, right?
Yeah, fair.
Like I fucking love Jack Reacher. I thought Jack Reacher was a grade A. Ridiculous movie.
No, it was absolutely right? for just being like, oh, what's incredible about Jack Reacher, my favorite thing, because I saw it with my parents.
Werner
like,
Herzog.
Well, that, but
or
also,
the strange almost contractual obligation of all women to ogle Tom Cruise despite him being like old, leathery, and tiny, and hiding none of it in this movie.
Well, but no, to me, it was the weird like moments that it took to divert from the main plot line to just have Tom Cruise like instruct a female about how to live their life. Like, there's a moment where he's like,
I'm gonna break on this narrative so I can spit some truth at you, woman.
Yeah, no, it's straight up. No, it's straight up happens in this movie where he's like, he's in an auto store and she's like,
yeah.
He's like, hey, where's your boyfriend? She's like, oh, it's like, and the whole movie grinds so hot where he's like, listen, you shouldn't hang out with him. You're better than that. You should believe in yourself. She's like, what the hell is this?
Well, dude, the whole thing is just Jack Reacher just totally being a total badass.
And then also,
when they walk outside, it's like, I thought of you, Des, and your your impression of Jack Reacher when I don't think I've seen this impression, but I do this impression as if it's you doing this impression.
A lot of layers.
When the guys are like, let's go outside right now. And Tom Cruise like kinda smirks, like all his leather just kinda curls up on his face as he like his neck stretches out like a iguana as he like looks up at this tall guy and just goes, just so you know, you asked for it. I'm gonna kick some ass now. Oh, fucking Tom Cruise, what are you doing? Like, and Robert Duvall, what's up, Army? Like, the whole thing is like, what is this movie?
And then, have you guys seen this? Have you guys seen it yet?
A long time ago.
My favorite bit when it's just like, where can we find him? It's like Tom Cruise is just, it was just hyperbole after hyperbole. It's like, not only is he a ladies' man and a guy who can kill and beat up four dudes in the middle of the street, he's also world championship marksman. It's like, he walks into a gun store, it's like, I've only seen one man shoot a group and that good. It's like, and he's like, pulls up a photo of like young Tom Cruise at a shooting competition or something. And then
the best description I heard for that movie was the Batman kid, the Make-A-Wish kid, who they did like Batman
City. Yes.
Like the whole movie is that for Jack Reacher, where people just like they're in the subway and everybody goes like, yeah, you're really smart, Jack, that's exactly like, everybody is so amazed by what he does.
That's
that they're clearly
the best description.
Everybody's clearly making him feel super amazing, but it's like, clearly these are all just his parents.
So just so you guys know, if you haven't seen Jack Reacher, it's on Netflix. It's totally worth an hour and a half of your time.
It's and then also
stupid dumb fun movie
as the
yeah I mean Werner Herzog makes it.
I am the yeah he was like he's so hard
why are you so greedy.
I would take
I
will take whatever. I will do anything to survive.
Yeah, dude, Werner Herzog as a villain. Anyways,
that's judging a movie based on his own merits, right?
Yeah.
That was
and
important
so
thing to
Stanley
do.
Parable, I was definitely ready to be like, oh, like this thing thinks it's art. Yeah. But like it was legitimately fun and caught me off guard.
So I got tricked quite a few times in the game.
I had a friend of mine who straight up until this winter break thought it was the Stan Lee Parable, like a superhero game.
He must have been incredibly disappointed when he started playing.
He's like, what is this?
What else did
so
you like?
So the game I didn't enjoy. All well, right. You know what? It's not that I did not like it. It just wasn't what you guys were blowing up, specifically you, mister, with Zelda.
Which one? Link to
the S3 one, man.
Oh, the 3DS one, you mean?
It's fun.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's just kind of like a, you know, you do it.
Heaven forbid a game be fun, though.
It's pretty much impeccable.
Well, it's just like, yeah, Zelda. Like, okay. All right. Like, that's Zelda. Okay.
Did you play Gone Home?
Yeah,
I was curious about that because I saw your tweet.
I thought that was not
tell.
Good.
Yeah,
I thought it was pretty bad. Well,
I liked
know,
it a lot, actually.
If you actually,
I
think
it.
The person who kind of reflected my take on it mm-hmm. the most is Emily Short. You know who Emily Short is?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Emily Short's kind of like, if there was a figurehead for interactive fiction, mm-hmm. like if Will Wright is like the dude for Sims, or probably, who's the, Chris Crawford would probably be like mm-hmm. the guy for Sims. Emily mm-hmm. Short's like the woman for interactive fiction. And like, she's like,
what does she work on? Like Facade? And
No, not Facade. No. She's more into like True Blue, like text adventure.
Yeah,
IF,
she's
right?
Is she a judge like the IF competition?
She totally is the judge there. Mm-hmm. And she teamed up with the Sims 3 AI guy for the new interactive fiction engine mm-hmm. coming out that really just feels like a Jane Austen sim.
Mm-hmm.
Made by the Second Life guys, strangely.
Figure,
right?
Yeah,
but anyways, so no, she had a good write-up. I don't know if you guys post links to this, but like that kind of encapsulate, which is like, there's nothing really interactive about this. You're totally not playing that person. Like, if you're a girl who came home and your whole family was gone, like, you wouldn't, like, slowly rifle through each drawer of your house. You'd be freaking out and eventually run away. Or, like, let's see, and the idea that at the end you're like moved to tears, it's like, yeah, not really. And like the weird fake out with the horror at the beginning, like, oh, is this a horror game? No. Why did you even do, like, what did that add
see,
to
see, we were talking about this I liked it quite a bit. And I think I like the way it pieces together the narratives of everybody in the family as you ruffle through it. You're right, I mean, arguably it doesn't make sense that she would stay there and look at it. But what I really liked about the horror element is, to me, that's what made what could have been a kind of a pretty straightforward story of, like, essentially, if you guys, I don't want to ruin the ending, but it's more or less this, you come home and you realize your sister falls in love with another girl, she realizes she's a lesbian, and so on.
But it's like a lame bait and switch. Like, they set up all these, like weird
within
sort of,
about
like...
Within about 10 minutes, you know there's not going to be ghosts popping out.
I mean,
like, you know...
Even, like, the
mom... I thought
there
were going to be ghosts all the way.
Dude, like, the mom, like, implying that she's going to cheat with this guy, and then at the end, they just kind of, like, put a bow on it, like, oh, no, she decided not to. It's, like, sort of all these kind of, like, poorly...
It felt like...
If it was a traditional narrative, it would not be a very good story.
But it's not a traditional narrative.
But I'm saying it's not a very good story
I think so for me, what I really liked about the horror element is, again, I don't want to, it's tough to ruin it, do it without ruining the ending.
You did it. You already ruined the
ending,
mister.
No, I didn't,
because... You literally said the entire ending out loud.
No, I didn't say what the ending is.
You didn't put a beep on it? Like, for
No. The ending is when you go into the attic finally, right?
Okay.
Yeah, and because it was like spooky...
And you find the ghosts!
Because it was like spooky and like it was just the atmosphere, I was so terrified of what I was going to find up there. And it wasn't anything supernatural. I just thought, oh, this story has a fucking... This is going to be an awful ending. I'm going to be fucking terrified. And it creates a lot of weight, and it ended up making a pretty straightforward ending. Like, to me, it was, like, very emotionally impactful. Like, it worked. Like, I was like, okay.
Because you're really expecting
nicely.
That... Because the horror,
story...
Because the horror framework makes you feel like something bad's going to happen. And it's going
to
end
It creates
poorly.
A lot of weight to the story. And I also thought the story with the dad was really well done, about him. He was writing these, like, super bizarre, like, artistic reviews of Panasonic DVD players, and you realize he used to be a writer, nobody respects him.
It was cute. It was like cute, but like it does. I don't think it deserved to. Again, to that like.
Yeah.
It was trying to be like this highbrow, amazing thing, and I think it kind of fell on its face.
See, I mean, I think it's still the thing where like it shows the flaws in that
type of
game. But I can't think of many I've played that are better.
So I really enjoyed the game, and I would say literally.
Oh, you did play through it.
I did play through it.
Okay.
Literally, the only criticism that I think is, I mean, like, you know, you can debate on sort of the merits of that as a structure, as a storytelling sort of level, but the only thing that I was like, yeah, you know what, there's point behind it. It's not $20. That's the only thing.
We should just say spoilers, actually. We're just going to say spoilers, so don't spoil it. Because just to clarify, I was like, I literally thought I was going to go up there and she had killed herself.
Really?
Like, that's what I really thought.
I thought
that
too.
I was like, this obviously, she obviously went away.
I was like,
no, I got that.
It was like all red and it was like terrifying. And like the last thing you get is the letter from her parents where they're like, get out of here. And also, did you get like this fact that the dad was raped by the uncle? Like, there's just a lot like.
What?
Yeah, if you go to the safe.
There's subtext.
If you go to the safe, like, and that's why you get the letter.
Really?
You definitely get more of the story if you. Again, I think. think Will said it.
So in the context the of like girl coming exploring. Home, it's like, man, I learned a lot about my parents this one night. But yeah.
So that's what happens when you rifle through every single drawer in the house when you get there.
But the exploration side of it, though, is what you. It's the unpeeling of an onion in a way that it's not. You know, here's what it is. It's like it's a piece of narrative that's like it's about encompassing and filling up a space and using that space to unpeel.
Well, I think all those stories have. So like in fiction, they have this thing where like you can tell one great lie. Like essentially, like you can't have zombies and aliens unless that's.
Why can't you?
It just usually doesn't work. So like Snowpiercer, everybody's like that makes no sense. It's a giant train. It's like that's their one lie. Like sci-fi can have their lie. That's the concept. You accept it or you don't, right? And I think with games, you're still at the point where you're right. Like it's kind of absurd that you're rifling through the house or whatever. But it's just like I kind of take it at face value. You're like that's the lie. Like that's how it's starting. You just have to accept that that's the gameplay. Yeah. It's the same thing with BioShock. It's like you're right. You could be like it makes no sense that he's shooting a million people, but it's like. It's a shooter. He's shooting a million people. I just accept that until somebody gets something better.
I just choose not to accept it. I don't think
that's very fair.
But yeah, to me, it's like I think you kind of, it's the same thing. You kind of have to accept the game for what it is. So it's like BioShock is still a shooter. So it's going to involve
but
combat
both aspire to be
people.
Something more, and I'd argue they both failed. Now, Nidhogg is just supposed to be about people stabbing each other.
Nidhogg is true brilliance.
Now, let's get behind that.
Yeah. So yeah, the only thing I'd say gone home is just like, it's probably just a little too expensive for what
yeah.
you're...
Yeah, it's $15. You could get on sale too, but I don't know. It's just whether or not you support, like,
your payment for it is a supporting of that form, not necessarily like.
Well, it's longer than a movie still.
Well,
so
really quickly, guys,
like, I can buy Kindle books for $10.
Yeah, but this costs
that's
like
a book.
Bucks. Yeah, it's a book.
They don't
such
move.
A good book.
So really quickly, it's the end
you
of the year.
You can't stab people. In
I'm just
book.
Wondering, what's your guys' game of the year?
Game of the year,
2013.
I'll tell you what, it wasn't Alien. Colonial Marines. That was my disappointment.
I'm sorry.
You know, the next one was great, though. I mean, I knew it was going to be bad, guys. Everyone told me, but I was still holding out.
Why would you not have listened to the two guys who have perhaps the best insight into why
it had
it
nothing to do
bad.
With you guys, and it had everything to do with my love for
Freddie, did you tell him about us visiting, or is that not? Is that
off limits? Not off limits. I've actually
I think told it on this podcast.
Did you talk to him? Did you contact him since then and be like, hey, thanks for the steak, but that was really bad?
Oh, no, not the guy, but like, but we, long story short, Logan and I once, we were at Fox for Alien Clone Marines and we're just confused all the time. Like, what is coming back to this game?
Well, have you seen the trailer for the new Alien game, by the way?
No.
They've ditched the shooter mechanic and it's just
like
a first person horror game.
That's cool.
It looks very much aesthetically like you being in Alien, Ridley Scott's Alien.
Okay.
Looks pretty cool.
I'd probably do Towerfall. Towerfall.
Towerfall, Matt's game of the year.
Towerfall, Super Mario Land 3D.
Towerfall was a launch title on Ouya made by...
Oh, the one with the arrows?
We pretty much played that for 4 months straight.
It's fantastic.
I tried it with you guys.
Really?
I was like, yeah.
Do it on PC.
I think the issue was the Ouya controller.
It's the latency. So we literally stopped playing it until it comes out on PS4.
Yeah, yeah.
But as a big Smash Brothers man, it's like, it's the best game I've played like that.
How do you guys feel about the rise of Super Smash Brothers in competitive gaming this year?
Did it come back?
Oh, it came back
because the mods.
I don't think it's a mod. I think people finally figured out how to make it like a competitive game.
Because there was a documentary
came out.
Did you
like,
know
really?
Yeah, I
have to go back because Melee was huge, and then Brawl kind of screwed up with random tripping and stuff. Yeah,
when you're playing, like accidentally pause when you're playing, it's like immediate disqualification.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious.
That's hardcore.
I'll have to watch that. I was super hardcore.
You should watch the documentary, but I didn't realize there was such a serious like.
Well, Melee was huge. Melee was like only third after like Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom for a while. It was like the biggest game. Like it only essentially came down to five characters. It was like the Space Birds, Sheik and whatever, but Jigglypuff. But yeah, no, that's awesome. I'll have to go and check. But I know there's a mod that fixed a bunch. The problem with Brawl, it had like random tripping, which is just unacceptable for a competitive game. Your character can just trip randomly.
Let's see. So if I had to pick, if I go indie game, because I feel like AAA, I really enjoyed Last of Us.
It's
not quite the same though, because it's like, it's not because you have so much money behind it. But for indie game stuff,
Fix writing. Money don't fix writing.
Money
that writing was
writing.
Great.
That's true. Voice acting and writing. I really, really, really enjoyed. Was Hotline Miami this year? Was that
you enjoyed Hotline Miami?
I enjoyed that.
You didn't like Hotline Miami?
It's kind of whatever. I was like, oh, so I just opened doors into people. Is that the point?
Well,
because it was just kind of like raw combat
style. It was just like you get killed.
It was hard. It was just gritty. I like the
Hotline Miami
story.
Was up there for me. I'm missing the name of the other one. Papers Please. I actually quite enjoyed
Papers Please. Was interesting.
It's a little slow for me.
A little slow?
I got to the tile screen and then stopped.
It's a slow burn.
I was like,
the tile screen, too slow for Logan.
Still slow.
Yeah, Frog Fractions, I think, wins it for me. That was just, that knocked it out of the park for this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I don't think I even played that many games this year. I'm trying to think what else I even tried.
There was a lot I played. I just, I can't really remember.
I really dug Saints Row 4's opening.
Saints Row 4 is a thousand times better than
Grand Theft Auto 5. I liked how nuts it went.
It was really nuts.
It got really nuts.
Like, when this goes into the 50s world and you're, like, eating cereal and you're like...
Yeah.
I just like that that game had the... It was kind of like... The closest I've seen to Conker's Bad Fur Day since Conker's Bad Fur Day, where it's like, this is a fucking
Blade
video
described
game.
Described its development process as, like, it's essentially, like, 50 guys in the Midwest. And, like, they just, they're like, well, if this game is so huge, we have no time to, like, do anything twice or throw anything out. Uh-huh. And so it's a bunch of guys just like, I decided to do this with him. They're like, well, I guess that's in.
Like, that is the feeling of the game. Comes out. Within about, I think within like 10 minutes of just like shooting guys, I could suddenly fly like a flying squirrel. I could boost like 20 times. I could run full speed and destroy cars. Like, it was within 5 seconds I could do everything.
Now that's a game.
That was
that's
a game.
A
I felt
game.
Compared to like 40 hours into Grand Theft Auto, I still didn't quite understand how to get my cars in garages and was just like, where is my fucking Ferrari? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you play Grand Theft Auto 5, Logan?
I don't really like that series, though. Same. I tried, I finally broke, and with Nico and Sam, I tried Grand Theft Auto online. It took me 2 hours to figure out how to steer the car, and I was like, I'm done. That's it. We're done. Yeah. Moving on. Call of Duty. Back to Call of Duty. Which is still the best multiplayer game.
Do you play Battlefield 4?
You know, I tried that for, Blade worked on Battlefield 4. Yeah, he did the aircraft carrier level.
Cool.
Yeah, no, so I tried a little bit, like at Christmas, it was literally our whole family just watched Blade kill like thousands of people. Like, oh, cool. Like, this, that was like,
so this
that
is
was
what
our...
I've done this year. Have
you, did you guys make your parents watch Video Game High School? Too?
I didn't make them.
We didn't make them.
They
don't.
But they watched
them.
It.
They wanted to just for support.
But like, did you sit there next to them?
No.
How? I'm going to be honest. I actually never saw.
Never watched it.
Season 2.
That's fantastic.
If there's anything,
but
any of it?
If there's any part
of it.
I
even watched like 2 minutes of it?
I'll be honest. I got through the first half of the first episode.
Logan, if there's any.
It might even be worse than just not watching it.
That is worse.
Sorry.
That is definitely worse.
I'll try again sometime. I have like a lot of laundry to fold or something.
If there's anything, I think you'd enjoy episode 5.
No, yeah. I don't know if he would.
No, because Brian Frenzy is 100% in episode 5.
Brian Frenzy is 100% in episode 5. That was my favorite thing. Like, my
parents would like that then.
My parents watched it, they like it, and then my dad was like, so I saw that last one.
Episode 5.
It was episode 5, and he's like, Like, he's just kind of like, well, yeah, that was interesting.
But, like, is it, like, a really bloody show or anything?
No,
really
no.
Sexual? Like, if it was, do you think you'd be okay watching it with your guys' parents?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa, no.
I would be like, no? This is what I mean.
Dude, I saw during the holidays, I saw both American Hustle with my parents and Wolf of Wall Street with my parents.
I saw
both with my parents as well.
At any time, did your hand actually accidentally touch your mom's hand or her thigh?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, accidentally grope my mother's thigh.
How do you sit in the theater?
Get out of here. Get out of there, Logan.
That's no accident.
No, thankfully, I had my brother as a buffer for my parents.
Thankfully, because you can't control yourself?
Well, no, I meant more like, thank God, like, I didn't have to look over and have my mom be like, what did you take us to? Like,
is that how they felt?
Afterwards, they're like, that was filth.
Oh, really?
So my parents
that
loved
was
both
disgusting.
Movies.
For both of them? Including like, American Hustle's not
like,
that.
But, no, but Wolf of Wall Street, they're just like, God, there's like all this nudity and sex.
That movie's
amazing. I believe
disgusting.
My mom's exact review of Wolf was, that was fucking awesome. Quote unquote.
Yeah, it's very different than my folks.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, no, sitting next to him was pretty rough.
I can't even imagine. That would be a bad one.
All right.
So, you actually like watching those dirty movies with your mom, does?
Well, I don't like watching dirty movies with my mom, no.
But you're chill with
mind,
it. Appreciating art with my mom.
A violent film. They gave me Terminator when I was like 7.
Like, my dad made me watch Midnight Cowboy when I was like 12. He's like, this is great.
Is that the one about the gigolos?
Yeah.
Everybody's talking. That'd be illegal.
he was like, you have to see this. It's Graduate and then Midnight Cowboy.
When you first did that, you have to see this. I thought that was him grabbing the back of your head and pressing it into the screen.
All right. Well, I think we've overstayed our welcome here as per usual. But thanks everybody, Logan. Thanks for coming back on.
Yeah, happy to see you
starting this back up.
Because happy birthday, man.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday, man.
If I had known, I'd get you a present, dude.
You know what I want?
What do you want?
I want you to watch Video Game High School. Season Matt, two.
That's a lot of time.
That's a lot to ask from me, Matt.
Well, you know, like, if you say, like, I want, like, a $100 present.
I'll take $100. Like, all right, we're good. $100 present. We're all right.
Yeah, are you committing to that?
I got you. $100 gift certificate to Outback.
There you
all go. All right, everybody. All right, like everybody. So let's go around the table, sign off here. Daz, why don't you kick
I'm
us
Des
off?
Dally. I'm Matt Arnold.
I'm Freddie Wong.
I'm Logan. Sorry, I was supposed to go before you.
No, okay. You were right. There's you should go before you.
Okay. I thought we were going clockwise.
Yeah, whatever. All right.
Do you want to do it over?
No,
yeah,
thanks very much. Alex Reeves.
I'm Logan.
I'm Matt Arnold.
I'm Des. Do you want to just do the rap all over again?
Yeah, let's do it.
Go.
Go.
Whatever. No, you were talking
start
about
up.
The...
You want to draw straws for who goes
first?
We got to
be professional.
All right, hold on.
We got to be professional.
Let's do this.
All right, starting now?
Yep, start right now. All right,
we're finishing this up. Let's sign off here. I'm Freddie Wong.
I'm Des Dally.
I'm Matt Arnold.
I'm Logan Olson.
Special thanks to Alex Reeves, Point Blue Studios, the man on the mixer in the other room, and we'll be seeing
and
you.
Benji
wait,
Dolly.
Of course.
Benji Dolly, producer.
Holler.
There you go.
We're Googling up whatever we need Googled. We'll
Googled like,
you guys
Googled
later.
Like once.
Thanks very much, everybody. Shut up, Logan.
You know what? Let's do it one more time because we got to talk about, ask people to subscribe to iTunes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
And tell them to watch to the future.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good call.
I just do it after he says thank you to Benji.
Oh, no. We'll, Alex, real quick, make a note. We'll cut this in here as a redo of the thing. All right, I think we've overstayed our welcome. Let's sign it off. Before we do, though, a couple of things. Logan is the host, along with Ben Julie, of another podcast on the Rocket Jump Podcast Network, To the Future, where you guys sit around and talk about futurism and other such topics. It is a legitimately fantastic podcast. I laughed so hard on the online dating one that I had to pull the car over. I cried with laughter.
Really?
Yeah, it was really good.
Your professional wrestling episode is still my favorite.
By the way, of all the things, the one that my mom and dad talk about most is actually me recreating the date with Jimmy and you, Freddie.
What's that?
Where it's me as Jimmy's date, or like your daughter's date.
Oh my gosh.
They still like to quote that.
Oh man. So people, if you haven't heard it, check out To the Future. It's on our site. It's on iTunes, rocketjump.com. Speaking of which, with iTunes, this is how it works. We know some of you out there like to watch us on YouTube. You put it on, you put it in the background. That's cool. That's what we do too. However, we need everything in the podcast world is dependent on iTunes subscriptions, which is kind of weird because we got, you know, YouTube views too, but nobody really cares about that. So do us a favor. No matter how you watch it, no matter how you choose to listen to it, head on over to iTunes, click subscribe, download this podcast on iTunes. It'll help us out significantly. Anyway. Let's.
Do you think we have enough of these now to like do like a retrospect episode one time?
No, we don't.
Yeah,
good
we
Lord.
Do because we did like 3 years ago.
Yeah,
this is the 37th, I believe, that we've recorded.
We should do like a best of. Just
that
really milk this sucker. Yeah. You know?
Let's milk it out. We'll figure it out.
Let's milk it at 50.
Yeah, we'll milk it.
That's a good benchmark.
All right, okay. Signing off. This is Freddie Wong.
This is Des Dally.
This is Matt Arnold.
Logan Olson.
Thank you to Benji Dolly in the corner there, our Googler, and of course, Alex Reeves and Point of Blue Studios for recording Man on the Mixer. We'll be seeing you later.